I would like to thank each and every one tonight for coming. We've come to the closing meeting at this time, and we'd like to thank the saints for their attention and also for their attendance in the nights that have passed. I'd like to read tonight in the first book of Kings, the first book of Kings and chapter 3. First book of Kings, chapter 3, and reading from verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. This woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring or fetch me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, give half to the one, and half to the other. Then spake the woman who the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. I'm sure tonight the Lord will richly bless to us this reading from his own precious word. Now, just to refresh your mind tonight with what we have considered in the days that have passed. Sunday afternoon we considered three things. Going up to the house of God, in the house of God, and then leaving the house of God. We saw that state was important as we touch the house of God. We had to touch the house of God with a right mind. We had to touch it with cleanness of hands, pureness of heart. We had to touch it with conviction. We had to touch the house of God with exercise of heart, and to touch the house of God with a right spirit. That's what we considered on Sunday afternoon. Monday night we spoke about Bethel. We saw that Bethel was a place of rest. We noticed it was a place of revelation. We noticed it was a place of reverence, and it was also a place of remembrance. Tuesday night, again, we considered Bethel, and we spoke about worship in connection with Bethel. We saw that worship was preeminent. We saw that God had to be worshipped. We mentioned the thought of preparation for worship. And then we mentioned also the thought, the price, and the power for worship. Then the next night we spoke about Bethany. And we noticed three individuals linked with Bethany. We saw service in Martha. And we saw sitting in Lazarus. And then we considered sacrifice in Mary. Last evening, we spoke about the assembly as a flock. And we noticed the feeding of the flock, the liberty of the flock, the oneness of the flock. We consider certain characteristics that mark the flock, and then we spoke on the keeping of the flock. Now tonight, we're going to speak about the assembly. And we're going to speak about the assembly tonight as a child. I'm going to do three things tonight from this very important chapter. The first thing I'm going to consider tonight is this. I'm going to think of this chapter tonight in a very general way. And it's a chapter that speaks about Solomon. And we're going to notice what marks Solomon in this chapter this evening. The second thing we're going to do very quickly is this. We're going to consider those verses tonight that we have read in a very general way. And then thirdly and mainly, I'm going to consider tonight three things. We're going to notice three voices in 1 Kings chapter 3. Number one, we're going to consider the voice of wisdom as seen in Solomon. And then number two, we're going to notice the voice of affection as seen in the mother. And then number three, we're going to notice the voice of the flesh as seen in this other woman. So we're speaking tonight on the voice of wisdom. We're speaking tonight on the voice of affection. And we're speaking about the voice of the flesh. But let's get the picture tonight in our mind. Now two things mark Solomon's life. Number one, it was beautiful with holiness. Number two, it was blasted with idolatry. Two things are said about Solomon. Number one, we are told that Solomon loved the Lord. That's good. Number two, we are told that Solomon loved many strange women. And here's a life. It was beautiful with holiness. And here is a life that was blasted with idolatry. What the man was spiritually and what the man was naturally. Now, as I read this chapter, I discover at least four or five things about Solomon that we're not going to touch tonight, but I'm going to give them to you that you might think upon them. Number one, we read about the work of Solomon. Solomon built three things in this chapter. He built his own house. He built the house of God. And then he built the wall of Jerusalem. So you have Solomon's work in 1 Kings chapter 3. Number two, you have Solomon's worship. Because Solomon takes 1,000 burnt offerings, and he offers them upon the altar of incense or worship. So you have Solomon's worship in 1 Kings chapter 3. Number 3,
you have Solomon's walk.
Solomon walked in the statutes of David, his father.
Number four,
you have Solomon's words.
Because it says that his speech pleased the Lord,
that Solomon had asked this thing.
So there you have Solomon's wish,
you have Solomon's word.
And then what we're going to consider tonight,
we're going to think about Solomon's wisdom.
That's seen in the last verse of the chapter.
All Israel looked at Solomon,
and they saw that the wisdom of God was in him.
And that's the chapter tonight
in a very general way.
But I want tonight mainly to think of those verses tonight from which we have read. And as I think of those verses tonight, the first thing I want to consider,
I want you to notice the flesh in those verses.
Now the flesh appears in many different ways, and we're going to just touch tonight the flesh in many different ways in 1 Kings chapter 3.
Number one,
I see the corruption of the flesh.
Notice what we read tonight.
We read about two women that were harlots,
two women that had children
born to them out of wedlock.
And there I see the corruption of the flesh. Number one. Again, as I consider those verses,
I see the cunningness
and I see the craftiness of the flesh.
Here is a woman working silently.
Here is a woman working secretly.
She's working at midnight.
It's the cunningness and it's the craftiness of the flesh. Again,
as I consider those verses tonight,
I see the carelessness of the flesh.
I'm told when the child died.
I'm told where the child died.
And I'm told how the child died.
And I believe the mother overlay it,
the carelessness of the flesh.
Again, as I consider the chapter,
I can see the covetousness of the flesh.
Here's a woman
who covets what's not hers,
who covets what belongs to another,
and I see the covetousness of the flesh.
Then finally,
I see the coldness of the flesh.
No feeling for a mother,
no feeling for a child,
and there we have
the coldness of the flesh.
Now, I want to say this tonight. Three things preserved the life of the child. And I'm here tonight mainly to tell you this, beloved.
I believe it takes three things to preserve the life of an assembly.
Now, what was the three things that preserved the life of the child? Number one,
the wisdom of Solomon.
Number two,
the affection of the mother.
And then number three,
the authority of the sword.
And as I consider those three things tonight,
as I think of the wisdom of Solomon,
and as I think of the affection of a mother,
and as I think of the authority of the sword,
I believe that preserved
the life of the child.
Now, in thought tonight, go to the church of God at Corinth. Number one, there was no wisdom. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 6? And here's something for you young men to think about. You think of 1 Kings chapter 3, and think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you'll see many parallels in those two chapters. Now let me say, number one, wisdom was lacking at the church of God at Corinth. Listen tonight to Paul. Is there not a wise man among you? And I believe that wisdom was lacking at Corinth. Number two, if ever a rebuke came to the Corinthians from the pen of the apostle, it was when they read 1 Corinthians 13. And I believe love was lacking at Corinth. And when I think of the authority of the sword as a picture tonight of the Word of God, that was lacking at the Church of God at Corinth. Now, what was the outcome? Envy, strife, division. The child was divided because wisdom, because affection, because authority was absent. And when I read the Bible, I discover this. In John chapter 10, we touched it last night, I'm going to touch it again. In John chapter 10, I see the difference between a shepherd and a hireling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I see the difference between an instructor and a father. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, I see the difference between a mother and a woman. Now let's ask the question. What is the difference between an hireling and a shepherd? The hireling does not care. The shepherd cares. What's the difference between an instructor and a father? The instructor does not care. The father cares. And as I come tonight to 1 Kings chapter 3, and I ask this audience tonight the question, what is the difference between a mother and a woman? The woman does not care, but the mother cares. And I say it again tonight. Wisdom as seen in Solomon, affection as seen in the mother, and authority as seen in the sword, preserves the life of the child in 1 Kings chapter 3. And those three things will preserve the life of an assembly. Let's think tonight about the voice of wisdom. You know, when I think of wisdom, I think of Christ. And I want to think of Christ tonight as you and I think about wisdom. For example, Christ was the wise son that made the glad father. Christ was the poor wise man who through his wisdom delivered the city. You remember what Paul says about Christ in the Corinthian epistle? Christ, the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. You remember what said about Christ in Luke chapter 2? He was the child that grew. What, strong in spirit? He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Paul's words to the Corinthians tonight comes to mind. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And as I think tonight about wisdom, I'm reminded about the person of Christ. But let's come to Solomon tonight, and we're going to consider the voice of wisdom as seen in Solomon. Now notice the first thing Solomon says. Fetch a sword. Now I want to underline that tonight. The voice of wisdom says, fetch the sword. Now, I'm going to say this tonight. It's not every man that can use the sword. And it's not every man that can use the javelin. I'm going to speak of men tonight. And they used the sword and they dishonored God. And they used the javelin. And they dishonor God. But I'm going to speak about men tonight. And they use the sword and they honor God. And they use the javelin and they honored God. I read somewhere recently, the word of God in the hand of a carnal man is like a sword in the hand of a drunk man. Why say that again? The word of God in the hand of a carnal man is like a sword in the hand of a drunk man. And it's not every man that can use the sword. For example, the sword in the hand of a Peter. I tell you that's a God-dishonoring thing. You remember what Christ said to Peter when he had the sword? Listen tonight to the words of the Lord Jesus. He got the sword. Within its sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? The sword in the hand of a Peter is a God-dishonoring thing. The javelin in the hand of a Saul is a God-dishonoring thing. You remember what Saul did with the javelin? Twice he took the javelin and he aimed it at David. I tell you tonight, dear child of God, the javelin in the hand of a Saul is a God-dishonoring thing. But what about the javelin in the hand of a Phinehas? You remember Numbers chapter 25? Phinehas takes the javelin and he stayed the plague. The javelin in the hand of a Phinehas is a God-glorifying thing. I come tonight to my chapter in 1 Kings chapter 3. I notice the sword in the hand of a Solomon is a God-glorifying thing. I haven't time tonight to remain at this point But let me say this. It's wise men that build for God. It's wise men that bring to God. And it's wise men that judge for God. I come tonight to my chapter, and the first thing I see concerning wisdom is this. Fetch the sword. But notice, secondly, what he says. Divide the child. The voice of wisdom. As he brings the sword, and as he wields the sword, he says, divide the child. I believe there are individuals in the Bible, and they say things to bring out that which is false and that which is true. You remember Naomi? Ruth chapter 1, she says to her two daughter-in-laws, go back to your country. Go back to your father's house. I believe that Naomi is testing Ruth and Orpah. And Naomi knows one thing. If those girls go with me to Bethlehem, Judah, they will have to be genuine material. And I believe it's a test in Ruth chapter 1. Remember what Elijah says to Elisha? Tarry here at Gilgal. Tarry here at Jericho. Tarry here at Bethel. And I believe that Elijah is testing Elisha. I come to my chapter tonight. And here is the voice of wisdom. Divide the child. I believe that Solomon sees that in order that he might prove what is genuine and that he might prove that is false. Now I'm going to leave the voice of wisdom tonight. I'm not finished with it, but I'm going to leave the voice of wisdom at that point at the moment. I want to come to the voice of affection tonight. And I want to notice three things in this chapter about love. Number one, I want you to notice the language of love. Number two, I want you to notice the actions of love. And then number three, I want you to notice the reward of love. So we're speaking tonight about love. We're speaking about the language of love. We're talking about the action of love. And we're thinking about the reward of love. Now, I want to emphasize tonight the importance of love. Go through your Bible. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Listen tonight to the words of Peter. Have fervent love among yourselves. Listen tonight to the words of the Hebrew writer. Let brotherly love continue. And I'm going to emphasize tonight the importance of love. Now let me say first of all tonight four things about love.
Number one,
love towards one another
is a proof that we are saved.
Do you ever doubt your salvation?
Do you ever wonder if you're saved or not?
Listen tonight to the words of John.
We know
that we have passed from death unto life
because we love the brethren.
And love towards one another
is a proof that we are saved.
Number two,
you know, it's a proof that I love God.
Listen tonight to the words of John. If I don't love my brother whom I do see, how can I love God whom I do not see? And love towards one another is a proof that we love God. Number three,
it's a proof that we love Christ.
A new commandment I give unto you. Number three,
it's a proof that we love Christ.
A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another.
If ye love me,
ye will keep my commandments.
And it's a proof that we love Christ.
Then fourthly,
it's a testimony to the world.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples,
if ye love one another.
Now I'm going to say this tonight. Assemblies have been divided. And assemblies are being divided.
And I fear if the Lord be not come,
assemblies are going to be divided.
Because brotherly love is absent.
Now the word brotherly
is only mentioned 5 times in the Bible.
Once in Amos chapter 1,
he forgot the brotherly covenant.
Mentioned in Romans 12.
It's mentioned in Hebrews 13.
It's mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1.
And it's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 4.
The truth of brotherly love.
Now I'm going to say this tonight.
The salvation of any assembly
is seen in the truth of the brother.
Now I'm going to go through the Bible tonight. And I'm going to show you those that maintain the thought of the brother.
And I'm going to show you those tonight that don't maintain the thought of the brother.
Now, before you go to bed tonight, here's some homework. Read Philemon's epistle and notice 4 times in that little letter the word brother. Timothy,
the brother.
Philemon, the brother.
And twice Onesimus is called a brother.
Now let's go through the Bible. Let's come tonight to Genesis chapter 4 and listen tonight to the word of God. Where is Abel? You know, God could have stopped there. And Cain would have known whom God was speaking about. Ah, but God does not stop there. Listen to what God says. Where is Abel? Thy brother. And God maintains the thought of the brother. Come to Genesis 45. You remember the chapter? Cause all the Egyptians to go out. Listen to day and night to the words of Joseph. I am Joseph. He could have stopped there. And the brethren would have known who he was speaking about. Ah, but listen tonight to the words of Joseph. I am Joseph, your brother. And Joseph maintains the thought of the brother. Have it go quickly tonight to Genesis 37. You remember Joseph's brethren, they get Joseph's goat. And they kill the he-goat. And they dip that coat in the blood. And they bring it to their old father Jacob. I want you tonight to notice what they don't say. And I want you tonight to notice what they do say. When they come with that coat to Jacob, they don't say, is this our brother's coat? Listen tonight to the language of the brethren. Is this thy son's coat? Why do they not say brother? Why do they say son? Where you find envy, and where you find jealousy, and where you find hatred, you never get the thought of the brother. Now come with me very quickly tonight to Luke 15. I want you tonight to notice three speakers in Luke 15, and I'm not going to give you them in the order that they speak. I'm going to think of the servant speaking. And I'm going to think of the father speaking. And I'm going to think about the elder brother speaking. And I want you tonight to notice what they say. Listen tonight to the servant. Thy brother has come, and thy father has killed for him the fatted calf. And you know, when the servant speaks, he speaks about a brother. Secondly, the father speaks. It was meet that we should merry be and glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And the father maintains the thought of the brother. But listen tonight to the eldest son. Thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this, thy son has come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Why did the elder son not call the prodigal his brother? Where do you find envy? Where do you find hatred? And where do you find jealousy? You never get the thought of the brother. I come to the Corinthian epistle. I read about Sosthenes, the brother. I read about Apollos, the brother. And I read about Timothy, the brother. And I leave it with you tonight, dear child of God. Assemblies have been divided. And assemblies are being divided. Because the truth of the brother is absent. Let's think tonight of the language of love. I want to underline one word in this chapter tonight. And it's the little word, O. The little word, O. Listen tonight to the language of love. O my Lord. O my Lord. And that's the language of love. Let me say this tonight, and we're going to go through it very quickly. Where do you get that little word O in the Bible? It brings before us sincerity. And it brings before us reality. You know, it marked Moses in his ministry. You remember what said about Moses in Deuteronomy 32? Oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider the latter end. It marked Moses in his ministry. You know, it marked the Lord Jesus in his preaching. Luke chapter 13. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, it marked the Lord Jesus in his preaching. You know, it marked Jabesh in his prayer in 1 Chronicles 4. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. You know, it marked David in his worship in Psalm number 34. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. The language of love. I haven't time tonight to touch the action of love. And we're not going to touch tonight the reward of love. I want to come to my last point tonight. I want to think about the voice of the flesh. Will you listen tonight to the voice of the flesh? Divide the child. Let it be neither mine nor thine. I'm going to stop tonight and I'm going to ask this audience a question. If the voice of the flesh had gotten its way, what would have been the outcome? I want you tonight to listen with two ears. The outcome would have been two dead things. I've 40 years behind me now, being linked with assemblies. I could look back in my life when the flesh had its way and the outcome was two dead things. I've been pondering a verse today. I want you tonight, beloved, to get it. Proverbs chapter 6. Will you listen tonight? Six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. Lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness that uttereth lies, and he that soweth discord, division among brethren. I'm going to say this tonight. The devil never substitutes. The devil always counterfeits. A substitute could be a good thing. A counterfeit can never be a good thing. And I come to the Bible. Another Jesus. Another gospel. Another doctrine. And another worship. And it's the counterfeit of the devil. Now, I want tonight to say this. The devil is busy. As I think of those seven things tonight, consider three things about them. Number one, they're hateful to God. Number two, they're hurtful to your neighbor. And number three, they'll hinder you in spiritual progress. They're hateful, they're hurtful, and they hinder. Now the devil is busy. Let me say two things tonight about the devil, and then let me say four things tonight about the devil. Number one, the devil is busy. And he's trying to do two things. Number one, he's trying to make sinners happy on the road to hell. And he's trying to make Christians miserable on the road to heaven. And I'm wondering tonight if he's being successful. There are far too many Christians enduring their Christianity instead of enjoying it. And the devil tonight is busy. Now let me say four things about the devil. Number one, he's out to displace the person of Christ. I fear tonight, beloved, we are suffering tonight from a displaced Christ. He's being displaced in the heart. And he's being displaced in the home. And he's being displaced in the assembly. We're suffering tonight from a displaced Christ. Number two. He's out to beguile the sinner. He's out to deceive the sinner. And he'll beguile the sinner, he'll bind the sinner, and he'll blind the sinner. That is the work of the devil. He's out to deceive the sinner. Number three. He's out to defile the man of God. And he's out to defile the woman of God. And then number four, he's out to divide the assemblies of God's people. I leave it with you tonight. Here's a child. And the life of the child is preserved because of the wisdom of Solomon. Listen tonight to the words of wisdom. Give her the child, and by no means slay it. And because of the voice of wisdom, and because of the affection of the mother, and because of the authority of the sword, the life of the child is preserved. And those three things will preserve the life of the assembly.
Our Father, we do thank thee tonight for the privilege of looking into thy precious word. We thank thee, O God, that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. We pray that thou wilt bless the words spoken tonight, and in the nights, O God, that are past, we pray, O God, that it might be good for our souls in days that lie ahead in thy will. Part us now with thy blessing. Keep us, O God, in thy fear, as we ask those things and offer to thee the thanks that we owe, in the Lord Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Could we sing tonight in closing hymn number 78? Hymn number 78. How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power, and knows neither measure nor. Hymn number 78.